VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk on VCY America for a Friday News Roundup program. And friends, I need to mention at the outset, it is doubtful we're going to get to phone lines today because there is so much material we need to bring to your attention. You're going to be hearing some audio clips. We're going to be sharing with you an interview. I sat down with Matt Staver from Liberty Council just hours ago here today as he is arguing before the Florida Supreme Court. We'll have that interview coming up and so much more. We hope you'll stay tuned through the duration of the program today. You might just hear some things you're not getting from other sources, but keeping you informed. And I trust the burden on your heart weighs heavy to be in prayer for this nation, a nation that's badly in need of the Lord, a nation that needs to turn to Him, a nation that needs to repent of its sin and seek God's forgiveness and turn completely to Him. That's where we are at as a nation here today. And meanwhile, until we get to that point, friends, we're not going to see situations get any better at all. We see sin is running amok. We are seeing the destruction that is taking place not only of our nation itself, but of the family, and sadly in some cases out of the church as well. And so we'll be addressing a number of issues today on the program, but to may it burden our hearts to be greater and more intent in prayer and intense as well in prayer for our nation than ever before. We're going to begin with a hearing that took place this week in the U.S. Senate. This is a Senate Judiciary Committee meeting, and this is when the CEO of Meta, Mark Zuckerberg, apologized to families who have been negatively affected by his company's products after a grilling by Senator Josh Hawley. We're going to listen to this exchange because Senator Hawley just really, and according to the words of Breitbart, lambasted Zuckerberg for taking little or no action to protect children on Facebook and Instagram, and then grilled him on why the billionaire and his company have not offered compensation to victims and their families. Friends, young people are being wrecked by these social media sources. Young people have been driven to suicide through these sources. Young people have been groomed to turn their back on their parents, to turn out to their peers, to turn out to the likes of the Planned Parenthoods of this world, and those who are trying to promote this gender diversity and all that's going on there. It is many through social media accounts and those friendships that are being built with people they've never met in this life. And yet they're receiving advice and taking advice and obeying this advice that's coming. Well, all that to say this, let's listen in to that grilling from part of this hearing that took place earlier this week.
Mr. Zuckerberg, let me start with you. Did I hear you say in your opening statement that there's no link between mental health and social media use?
Senator, what I said is I think it's important to look at the science. I know it's people widely talk about this as if that is something that's already been proven, and I think that the bulk of the scientific evidence does not support that.
Well, really, let me just remind you of some of the science from your own company. Instagram studied the effect of your platform on teenagers. Let me just read you some quotes from the Wall Street Journal's report on this. Company researchers found that Instagram is harmful for a sizable percentage of teenagers, most notably teenage girls. Here's a quote from your own study. Quote, we make body image issues worse for 1 in 3 teen girls. Here's another quote. Teens blamed Instagram, this is your study, for increases in the rate of anxiety and depression. This reaction was unprompted and consistent across all groups. That's your study.
Senator, we try to understand the feedback and how people feel about the services. We can improve.
Wait a minute. Your own study says that you make life worse for 1 in 3 teenage girls. You increase anxiety and depression. That's what it says. And you're here testifying to us in public that there's no link. You've been doing this for years. For years, you've been coming in public and testifying under oath that there's absolutely no link. Your product is wonderful. The science is nascent. Full speed ahead. While internally, you know full well your product is a disaster for teenagers.
Senator,
and yet you keep right on doing what you're doing. Right?
That's not true. That's not true.
Let me show you some other facts I know that you're familiar with.
Wait a minute.
That's not a question. That's not a question. Those are facts, Mr. Zuckerberg. That's not a question.
Those aren't facts.
Let me show you some more facts. Here's some information from a whistleblower who came before the Senate, testified under oath in public. He worked for you. He's a senior executive. Here's what he showed he found when he studied your products. So, for example, this is girls between the ages of 13 and 15 years old. 37% of them reported that they had been exposed to nudity on the platform unwanted in the last 7 days. 24% said that they had experienced unwanted sexual advances. They'd been propositioned in the last 7 days. 17% said they had encountered self-harm content pushed at them in the last 7 days. Now, I know you're familiar with these stats because he sent you an email where he lined it all out. I mean, we've got a copy of it right here. My question is, who did you fire for this? Who got fired because of that?
Senator, we study all of this because it's important and we want to improve our services.
Well, you just told me a second ago you studied it, that there was no linkage. Who did you fire?
I said you mischaracterized
it. 37% of teenage girls between 13 and 15 were exposed to unwanted nudity in a week on Instagram. You knew about it. Who did you fire?
Senator, this is why we're building all
the tools. Who did you fire?
Senator, I don't think that that's...
Who did you fire?
I'm not going to answer that.
Because you didn't fire anybody, right? You didn't take any significant action.
It's appropriate to talk about... It's
not appropriate.
Decisions.
Do you know who's sitting behind you? You've got families from across the nation whose children are either severely harmed or gone, and you don't think it's appropriate to talk about steps that you took? The fact that you didn't fire a single person? Let me ask you this. Have you compensated any of the victims?
Sorry?
Have you compensated any of the victims? These girls, have you compensated them?
I don't believe so.
Why not? Don't you think they deserve some compensation for what your platform has done? Help
Senator,
with counseling services? Help with dealing with the issues that your services cause?
Our job is to make sure that we build tools to help keep people safe.
Are you going to compensate them?
Senator, our job and what we take seriously is making sure that we build industry-leading tools to find harmful
to make money,
take it off the services,
to make money,
and to build tools that empower parents.
So you didn't take any action. You didn't take any action. You didn't fire anybody. You haven't compensated a single victim. Let me ask you this. There's families of victims here today. Have you apologized to the victims? Would you like to do so now?
Well,
they're here. You're on national television. Would you like now to apologize to the victims who have been harmed by your product? Show them the pictures. Would you like to apologize for what you've done to these good people?
I'm sorry for everything that you have all gone through. It's terrible. No one should have to go through the things that your families have suffered. And this is why we invest so much and are going to continue doing industry-leading efforts to make sure that no one has to go through the types of things that your families have had to suffer.
You know... Why, Mr. Zuckerberg, why should your company not be sued for this? Why is it that you can claim, you hide behind a liability shield, you can't be held accountable? Shouldn't you be held accountable personally? Will you take personal responsibility?
Senator, I think I've already answered this. I mean,
Well, try this again. Will you take personal responsibility?
Senator, I view my job and the job of our company as building the best tools that we can to keep our community safe.
Well, you're failing at that.
Well, Senator, we're doing an industry-leading effort. We build AI tools
nonsense.
That...
Oh, nonsense. Your product is killing people. Will you personally commit to compensating the victims? You're a billionaire. Will you commit to compensating the victims? Will you set up a compensation fund?
Senator,
with your money.
I think these are
with your money.
Senator, these are complicated.
Yes, that's not a complicated question, though. Senator, yes or no? Will you set up a victims' compensation fund with your money, the money you made on these families sitting behind you? Yes or no?
Senator, I don't think that that's my job is to
sounds like a no.
Good tools.
My sounds
job
like a
is
no.
To make sure that
your job is to be responsible for what your company has done. You've made billions of dollars on the people sitting behind them. Are you here? You've done nothing to help them. You've done nothing to compensate them. You've done nothing to put it right. You could do so here today, and you should. You should, Mr. Zuckerberg.
Wow, wow. Josh Hawley shaming Mark Zuckerberg into apologizing and grilling him on these issues, and the families of victims holding up pictures of their children who have been harmed by the social media, victims who have seen unwanted pornography and nudity and or pressured into providing such things themselves, or those who have been induced to performing self-harm. And on it goes. Friends, it is startling to see what is taking place. And I'm thankful for Senator Josh Hawley shining the light of day on these matters. The Federalist is also reporting here that in an interview with Wired publisher last Friday, board member Pamela Sen Martin claimed that a tech platform enters 2024, even though we're addressing the problems that arose in prior elections as a starting point. It is not enough. Friends, we have not gotten past the issues that were part of the last election-related issues. Between the U.S. election in 2020, she says, to the Brazilian election in 2022, Meta has not done enough to address the potential misuse of its platforms through coordinated campaigns, people organizing, or using bots on the platforms to convey a message to destabilize a country, to create a lack of trust or confidence on electoral processes, she said. Sen Martin told Wired that since 2020, we've seen an advance in Meta using more tools to address election-related issues, but listed election interference initiatives, red censorship techniques that Meta has tested out in different countries. She acknowledged how Meta's own algorithms, their own news feeds, their own recommendation systems, their own political ads can play a part in what she called protection of electoral processes. Friends, more to come. It seems to me there is some major election happening in this world this year. The Washington Times is reporting a bipartisan bill to slash taxes for businesses and enhance the child tax credit is a step closer to becoming law. The legislation passed the House on Wednesday evening. The vote 357-70 now heads to the Democratic-run Senate. The bill would expand the child tax credit to lower-income families and reinstate expired credits for corporations from the 2017 Trump tax cuts. The bill is retroactive, would apply for three tax years, 2023, 2024, and 2025. From Just the News, Joshua Schulte betrayed his country by committing some of the most brazen, heinous crimes of espionage in American history. That's a statement from U.S. Attorney Damian Williams, a former CIA officer who stole agency documents and sent them to WikiLeaks, sentenced to 40 years in prison on Thursday over a litany of charges. Time is not going to permit me to get more into those areas. But, friends, let me just say that these things are happening at the highest levels, and it's certainly having an impact upon our national security as a whole. We see the impact of what open borders are having upon our nation and the selling of secrets that is taking place and those that are betraying this country and those who are enabling the betraying to take place as well. Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk. It's a News Roundup Friday here on the program. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, you're going to be hearing my interaction with Constitutional Attorney Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel, as we spoke just hours ago today regarding his upcoming case before the Florida Supreme Court. Folks, this is an important issue that is being fought for Florida, but there's impact for the nation as a whole as well. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where do comets come from?
Chris, comets pose a very difficult problem for long-age evolution. Many of these comets are short-lived. They last only a few trips around the sun, but yet our solar system is full of comets. Therefore, it can't be very old. Evolutionists have proposed a hypothetical source of comets called the Kuiper Belt. Photographs from the Hubble telescope seem to support the claim. Unfortunately, recent studies of these same photos declare that the Kuiper Belt has not been found. There is no source of comets which would keep our solar system supplied with them. The Bible says that the entire universe was created in Creation Week, along with everything else. It's not billions of years old, and the evidence that we see supports this. Everything goes back to Genesis, and so it should.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org. This coming Wednesday, February 7th at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel, will present oral arguments before the Florida Supreme Court regarding a proposed amendment to the Florida Constitution that would codify unrestricted abortion as a right. He's with me by phone right now. Matt, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Good to be with you, Jim.
Matt, this coming Wednesday, you're going to be providing oral arguments here representing many in the state of Florida. Tell us about this case.
Yes, this is a proposed constitutional amendment sponsored by Planned Parenthood, the ACLU, and other abortion advocates to put on the November ballot to change the Florida Constitution. If passed, it will provide unregulated abortion with no exceptions. The only possible law in Florida that could survive after this amendment is possibly a parental notification, but no parental consent, no licensing restrictions, no health and safety standards, no informed consent. Nothing would survive after this amendment. It says no law shall restrict abortion prior to viability. And then even after viability, that abortion is still permissible up through the actual birth of the child if a healthcare provider says so. And a healthcare provider is not defined. In Florida, healthcare providers include 58 categories of professions, which includes a 911 operator, a tattoo artist, an orthotic, a fitter assistant, a physical therapist, a dietitian, a nutritionist, and so many others. Even a school counselor is considered a healthcare provider. So any of these would be able to say, even post-viability, that the abortion is necessary for any reason. So this provides unlimited, unrestricted, unregulated abortion through all 9 months up till birth for any reason at any time, and it disables the legislature from enacting any laws, even to address egregious, outrageous situations of abusers like Dr. Kermit Gosnell. They would be disempowered because every law restricts something. And when it says no law shall restrict abortion, that means no law. That's no law. Other than they said possibly parental notification. So if there's a law that stands in Florida after this, it would only be parental notification, which is just window dressing. So this is a very serious subject matter. In Florida, a voter initiative needs to have two things to be on the ballot. Obviously, it needs the signatures. They say they've got them. But beyond that, it needs to comply with the single subject rule, and it violates that because it affects all three branches of government, the legislature, the executive, as well as the judiciary. It regulates pre-viability and post-viability abortion. It regulates the broad category of health that's way beyond abortion. And it has all these different areas. It violates the single subject. Secondly, it also is misleading and confusing because of the language that's undefined. There's broad language with no definition. For example, just like I mentioned, healthcare provider is not defined as a medical doctor, which they could have done. No, they made it so broad that it includes 58 categories of profession, most of which have no medical training whatsoever.
That's outrageous, Matt. And you mentioned the group is Floridians Protecting Freedom, and they've got connections to Planned Parenthood, don't they?
Yes, this is backed by Planned Parenthood and the ACLU. Those are the two primary backers that gathered these signatures. The signatures are going through the certification process, but they say they have enough. They've gathered over 100,000 signatures. They're so confident that they stopped gathering the signatures. So the only thing left right now is this argument on February 7 before the Florida Supreme Court to keep this off the ballot. And that's what I'll be arguing on February the 7th, that this should never be on the ballot because it is intentionally deceptive and designed to fool voters into voting for unlimited, unregulated abortion. How many people, if they knew that this meant there's zero protections, zero regulations, no health care and safety standards, no licensing, no hospital privileges, no informed consent, no parental consent. None of that would survive if this passes in November.
And, Matt, I'm confident that your media throughout the state of Florida is not telling how egregious this is, because the fact that when you gave that list of many, you know, tattoo artists, they could be the one to determine, oh, you need to have an abortion for your health.
Yeah, and tattoo artists not only would be able to say that it's necessary to protect your health, which is undefined, it means anything, frankly, when it's undefined like that, but also able to determine whether a baby is viable. Without any medical training at all, be able to make a medical diagnosis or determination, including your own 911 operator. You could call up and say, I need a referral for abortion, and your 911 operator, literally under this provision, can allow you to have an abortion, even if there's a law that's regulating abortion, say, even in the third trimester. So no law at all prior to viability, zero, none, except for possibly parental notification. After viability, if there is any law that the legislature can pass, we're talking about like in third trimester, then these health care providers can override those laws. They have an absolute veto power over any regulation or law or protection that otherwise would be passed by the legislature for these late third trimester abortions.
Matt, you're making the oral arguments this coming Wednesday morning. How can our listeners best be praying for you and the team at Liberty Counsel?
Well, pray for the preparation. We're in intense preparation right now, but also pray for the argument on Wednesday, February 7th, and the seven justices that are on the Florida Supreme Court, that they also make a ruling in the near future that this amendment violates Florida initiative law and must not be, cannot be placed on the November ballot.
Okay, and that's a goal, to place it on the November ballot. Any idea when these justices might make their decision known?
Well, we don't know when, but I would expect probably within 30 to 60 days, no later, I would think, because this is a ballot initiative and we are headed toward the November ballot in the next several months. So time is of the essence, and this is a very, very critical argument.
Friends, be praying for Matt Staver. That's this coming Wednesday morning before the Florida Supreme Court. Oral arguments will be made. Be praying for their preparation work that's going on right now. Be praying for them to clearly articulate their oral arguments this coming Wednesday. Matt, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thank you, Jim. My pleasure to be with you.
Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel joined me just a couple hours ago to talk about this very important issue. Be praying for him as he argues before the Florida Supreme Court this coming Wednesday. Well, from townhall.com, Representative Ilhan Omar made concerning comments about her primary interest while serving in Congress. Her primary interest, folks, to protect Somali interests. Now, noteworthy figures in the United States are calling for her to face the consequences, with Governor Ron DeSantis posting a call to expel her from Congress, to denaturalize her, and to deport her. Speaking originally in Somali, Omar's remarks were highlighted by Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs for the Republic of Somaliland, Rhoda Elmai, who expressed great concern. According to her translation, Omar said she was Somalian first, Muslim second, and was here to protect the interests of Somalia from inside the U.S. system. DeSantis certainly isn't the only one to issue such a call. There's a hashtag Expel Omar has been trending over X. Omar could be theoretically be denaturalized and deported. And I find it very interesting indeed that Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene is pushing to censure Representative Omar for her outrageous speech to her supporters in downtown Minneapolis on January the 27th. So Marjorie Taylor Greene took to the House floor. Here's what she had to say.
Censuring Representative Ilhan Omar of Minnesota. Whereas elected members of Congress take an oath to bear true faith and allegiance to the United States without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion. Whereas Representative Ilhan Omar took an oath of allegiance to the United States upon becoming a citizen, declaring, I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty of whom or which I have heretofore been a subject or citizen. Whereas on January 27, 2024, Representative Omar gave remarks at an event in Minneapolis in which she made treasonous statements. Whereas Representative Omar said she has spoken to many Somalians who asked her to intercede for the Somali government by pressuring the United States government into certain actions. Whereas Representative Omar assured the Somalians she spoke to, the U.S. government will only do what Somalians in the U.S. tell them to do. They will do what we want and nothing else. They must follow our orders, and that is how we will safeguard the interest of Somalia. Whereas Representative Omar continued, for as long as I am in U.S. Congress, Somalia will never be in danger. Its waters will not be stolen by Ethiopia or others. Sleep in comfort knowing I am here to protect the interest of Somalia from inside the U.S. system. Whereas George Washington warned in his farewell address of 1796 to guard against the impostures of pretended patriotism and further declared citizens by birth or choice of a common country, that country has a right to concentrate your affections, the name of American, which belongs to you in your national capacity, must always exalt the just pride of patriotism more than any appellation derived from local discriminations. Whereas these statements by Representative Omar clearly violate the oath she took as an elected member of Congress to defend and protect the United States Constitution. Whereas Representative Omar has exhibited the treasonous tendencies George Washington warned about, and her actions must be condemned by all members of Congress who adhere to the oath they took upon assuming office. And whereas by openly admitting her efforts to advance Somalia's interest using her position as a United States representative, Representative Omar has revealed herself to be a foreign agent acting on behalf of a foreign government. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Representative Ilhan Omar of Minnesota be censured. Representative Ilhan Omar forthwith present herself in the well of the House of Representatives for the pronouncement of censure. Representative Ilhan Omar be censured with the public reading of this resolution by the Speaker, and Representative Ilhan Omar be and is hereby removed from the Committee of the Budget and the Committee on Education and the Workforce.
That's Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene calling for censorship. And I wonder if they will act on that at all. Will they act on it? Friends, as you recall, Usama Dakdak has been here often on the Crosstalk program as guest, and he has referred to CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, as Hamas, Hamas CARE. I mean, others, Shram Hadian, well, also talking about Hamas CARE. Well, did you know that the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, the largest Muslim civil rights and advocacy organization in the United States of America, has welcomed introduction now of a congressional resolution? It's Senate Res 534, S. Res 534, recognizing January as Muslim American Heritage Month and celebrating the achievements of American Muslims. It was introduced in the House of Representatives and Senate by U.S. Representative Andre Carson and Senator Cory Booker. The resolution highlights the historical contributions American Muslims have made across multiple sectors of society. Islam, friends, who has vowed to do away with the infidel, strike the necks of the infidel being Christians and Jews. And now we're talking about a Muslim American Heritage Month? We'll be right back.
It happens to many. You go through life on cruise control until the phone rings indicating a tragedy has occurred. Maybe you visit the doctor and receive devastating news. Or perhaps a spouse or family member is suddenly taken. You feel like the rug has been pulled out from underneath you and your life forever changed. What do we do when our normal is gone? In the book, A New Normal, Dr. Les Olala guides the reader through four biblical steps when your normal is suddenly taken away. you'll learn that God doesn't intend to harm you with these events and circumstances, but rather His plan is to perfect you and to strengthen your faith. One copy of A New Normal is available for a donation of $10, 3 copies for $24, or 5 copies for a donation of $35. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on BCY America. Friends, as I said at the outset of the program today, there is so much material here. I can't make any promises on getting the phone lines today because there's much more I'd like to share with you. I was just sharing here before the break the resolution introduced into Congress to actually have our United States congressmen and senators vote on having an American, Muslim American Heritage Month, for January. Here we also have, and this is very telling as well, the House of Representatives voted on banning all perpetrators of the October 7th Hamas massacre from having entry into the United States. The House voted in favor of it 422-2. The two individuals voting in opposition, only Cori Bush and Rashida Tlaib voted against it. From FoxNews.com, the Justice Department is investigating squad member Cori Bush over the alleged misuse of government funds intended to pay for her security, two sources told Fox News. Responding to Fox News Digital, Bush's office provided a statement confirming the Department of Justice is reviewing my campaign spending on security services. Bush notably has spent more than $500,000 on her own private security. Now, folks, this is important to know. Spending $500,000 on her own private security while publicly advocating for the defund the police movement. She is all for defunding the police, except when it comes to her, she wants her own private security and has spent more than $500,000 in order to have it. Her husband and former security guard Courtney Meritz, who she married in February of 23, according to this report, has pocketed more than $100,000 in payments since Bush added him to her campaign's payroll in January of 22 for what was then marked as, quote, security payments, before switching their description to wage expenses in April. Now, these people that are yelling, defund the police, and you know what's happening? There is mayhem happening all across this country. Smash and grab, you know, it's happening in stores, and being targeted has been drugstores across this nation. People just go in and smash and grab, you know, not only the healthcare related products, but medicines and even jumping, you know, over counters of pharmacists and so forth. But this crime wave is targeting stores across this country, and so you have some stores that are locking up all their merchandise behind closed doors, glass sliding doors, and many others have had to shut down. Some have put these plastic coverings over them, and then we've seen thieves go in with, what, blowtorches to try and get through that to steal the merchandise. And some of these stores are saying enough is enough, and one of those has been Walgreens. Walgreens has been closing some of their stores in these high crime-infested areas, thanks to those who are yelling, defund the police. Well, what's interesting is in Roxbury, Massachusetts, one of the Walgreens stores is shutting down. But guess what? One of the squad members, Representative Ayanna Pressley, a member of AOC squad, she's in a tizzy regarding this at Todd Starnes, and she actually took to the House floor to scold Walgreens for closing a store in a crime-riddled neighborhood that thieves are coming in and stealing their things. Listen to what she had to say.
Mr. Speaker, Walgreens is planning to close yet another pharmacy in the Massachusetts 7th, this time on Warren Street in Roxbury, a community that is 85% Black and Latino. This closure is a part of a larger trend of abandoning low-income communities like the previous closures in Mattapan and Hyde Park, both in the Massachusetts 7th. When a Walgreens leaves a neighborhood, they disrupt the entire community and they take with them baby formula, diapers, asthma inhalers, life-saving medications, and of course, jobs. These closures are not arbitrary, and they are not innocent. They are life-threatening acts of racial and economic discrimination. That is why I joined with Senator Markey and Warren to demand answers from Walgreens CEO. Why was there no community input, no adequate notice to customers, and no transition resources to prevent gaps in health care? Shame on you, Walgreens. Having a website with talking points about health equity and underserved communities is not enough. Walgreens is a multi-billion dollar corporation that needs to put their money where their mouth is and stop divesting from black and brown communities.
You know, that's Representative Presley. Friends, it's not Walgreens leaving that's disrupting the community. It's the crime that's disrupting the community. She talked about them pulling this up because of racial discrimination and didn't have a community input. Well, the community has given their input. We're going to smash and grab. We're going to steal things. We're going to threaten customers that are coming in and putting your employees at risk. But this is the view of the squad, folks. And that squad has been on the increase in our United States government. Let's get on to another issue here today on Crosstalk. This coming from hotair.com, acting on intelligence that Hamas's leadership abroad had coordinated weapons distribution from a cell embedded in a Jenin hospital. The IDF conducted a raid and killed its leaders and two operatives. Hamas had planned to run another October 7th style massacre out of the West Bank using the Ibn Sina Hospital as its command center. According to a joint statement by the IDF, Israel's police, YAMAM, counterterrorism forces, and the Shabet, Hamas terrorist Mohammed Jalmana was killed during the operation, along with two fellow terrorists who hid alongside him at the hospital. The terrorist, a resident of the Jenin refugee camp, held direct communication with Hamas leadership abroad, according to the statement, was responsible for transferring weaponry and ammunition to Hamas terrorists across the West Bank for shooting attacks targeting Israelis. Furthermore, he used the hospital as a secret base of operations as he was planning an infiltration attack akin to the one inspired by the October 7th massacre. The other two operatives killed in the raid had a long history of terror activities. And yet Israel continues to be blamed for the killing of civilians. And how can you do this? You're being indiscriminate, Israel. Here we have the masterminds that are sitting in a hospital waging their next attack on Israel that's going to be reminiscent of what happened on October the 7th. Jihad Watch reporting at least 190 United Nations Gaza-based employees are operatives of Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad terrorist groups, a newly released Israeli intelligence report shows. The six-page dossier shows some 190 UNRWA employees, including teachers, have dubbed as Hamas or Islamic Jihad militants, the news agency Reuters reported. The recent highlights are the large-scale infiltration of the UN agency by Islamic terrorists in Gaza. The revelation comes days after Israel provided evidence showing that several employees of UN's Palestinian aid agency, UNRWA, took part in the October 7th massacre. We covered some of these issues earlier this week with Dr. Showers on Crosstalk. Well, from Jihad Watch also, now the Israeli Land Authority has just presented UNRWA, which has in recent years been squatting on 21 years of Jewish-owned land in northern Jerusalem, with a set of demands. First, it must promptly destroy the buildings it's constructed on the site. Second, it must vacate the area. And third, it must pay an enormous sum of some 17 million shekels, that's about $4.6 million, to settle claims of back rent due to the ILA as the owner of the property. Okay, Christian Post telling us an influential group of more than 1,000 black pastors with thousands of congregants are calling on President Biden and his administration to push for a ceasefire in Gaza as the war between Israel and Hamas deepens. But former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the call for a ceasefire is the message of Russian President Vladimir Putin. Black faith leaders are extremely disappointed in the Biden administration on this issue. The Reverend Timothy McDonald, senior pastor of First Iconium Baptist Church in Atlanta, which has more than 1,500 members, told the New York Times. "We're afraid," said McDaniel, who was one of the first pastors of more than 200 black clergy in Georgia to sign an open letter calling for a ceasefire. "We've talked about it. It's going to be very hard to persuade our people to go back to the polls and to vote for Biden." Well, they find it's very interesting to see all that's unfolding here, but they're also asking for Israel to stop its occupation of the West Bank. Daily Wire reporting that commanders in Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, a designated foreign terrorist organization, have reportedly gone into hiding in Iraq and Syria after President Joe Biden's administration have repeatedly leaked their alleged plans to launch retaliatory strikes against those responsible for murdering three U.S. Soldiers and wounding dozens more over the weekend. CBS News reported that Biden officials confirmed to the network that plans had been approved for a series of strikes over a number of days against targets, including Iranian personnel and facilities inside Iraq and Syria. Thank you for the tip-off. We are now going into hiding. Folks, it just does not make sense. It does not make sense. If you're looking for to secure the welfare of our nation and its citizens and our soldiers, you don't do things like this. American Military News is reporting that the U.S. Department of Justice charged four Chinese nationals on Wednesday for illegally exporting and smuggling U.S. electronic equipment to Iran's military. They issued a press release, the Department of Justice did Wednesday, noting that the four Chinese nationals exported and smuggled U.S. export-controlled items through China and Hong Kong, ultimately for the benefit of entities affiliated with the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. Coming to us from WND.com, global shipping has been thrown into disarray by attacks from Iran-backed Houthi militants in the Red Sea, adding expenses and travel time to freight companies, which will eventually be passed down to American consumers. The number of weekly transits going through the Suez and Red Sea have dropped 42%. This is a route typically being responsible for about 12% of global trade. And we understand that they're having now to go around the Cape of Good Hope. And that's adding, well, normally that trip is twice as long, 10,000 to 12,000 nautical miles versus 4,000 to 5,000 nautical miles. And friends, the pocketbook is going to see it. This coming from the Daily Wire, the U.S. is reportedly planning to relocate nuclear weapons to the U.K. for the first time in nearly two decades to counter the threat of Russian aggression engulfing the European continent. The Telegraph reports that it gained access to sensitive Pentagon documents that said the U.S. has procurement contracts for a new facility in Suffolk that confirms that the U.S. intends to place nuclear warheads three times the strength of the Hiroshima bomb at the airbase. The threat from Russia is so serious that the Admiral Rob Bauer, he's with the Royal Netherlands Navy, chairman of the Military Committee of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, warned last week that Europeans needed to be mentally ready to fight a major war against the Russians in the next two decades. Also from South China Morning Post, they were saying that Russia, in a new push to expand its influence in Africa, is recruiting for an armed force to replace the Wagner Group's mercenaries across the continent. The African Corps would bolster Russia's military presence with what it says would be a network of planned defense ministry-controlled bases in a bid to revive Moscow's Cold War-era clout on the continent at a time of steeply declining Western influence. It would also allow the Kremlin to consolidate control of Wagner's business network in Africa, including the lucrative mining interest. And also from Worthy News, the NATO military alliance has begun its largest exercise since the Cold War, involving 90,000 troops as several European nations prepare for possible war with Russia. The war game running through May will bring together a record number of troops from the United States to Europe, said NATO Military Committee Chair Admiral Rob Bauer. It's called Steadfast Defender 2024. It comes as Russia continues its invasion of Ukraine. China threatens to attack Taiwan. The Israel-Hamas war seems to escalate into a broader Middle East battle quickly. Friends, we're going to be back here in just a moment. I'm going to have some more stories here today on the broadcast. Stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon Hout. I've been talking on my broadcast about the border convoy. They're going to California and Texas and Arizona. And it all is culminating at Eagle Pass, apparently, or near there, on Sunday, February 3rd. Reporters on the ground that I'm interviewing, many of them citizen reporters, are saying that three different state agencies are warning that this could be a problem, and the FBI will be present. Is this another J6 style setup? I know some people indeed definitely want to express their concerns about what's happening in America. But Americans and Christians need to be very wise and very discerning, because there are a lot of pitfalls and snares that have been set to, well, manufacture a crisis. So pray for our nation. So many of you want to do something. I get it. I believe in the power of prayer. Indeed, the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Be discerning, be wise, and pray.
Well, I definitely need another hour today here on Crosstalk, but friends, again, I trust this burdens us to be praying for this nation and to recognize the times indeed are perilous. And as Paul told Timothy, he said, preach the word. And that's what we need in pulpits across this nation, not to cower away from biblical truth, but to preach the word. Salvation by grace through faith alone in Christ alone. How critically it's important in such a time as this. Well, friends, just moments ago, I was telling you, you know, this growing threat that's coming from Russia, the growing threat from China. And this from redstate.com, it's just hard to fathom what is going place and the sheer lunacy that we have and our dependency upon other nations for such critical issues. For instance, the U.S. military is almost entirely dependent upon China and Russia for a metal that is used in many military applications, such as explosives and armor-piercing bullets. The metal is antimony, and China currently owns 53% of the world supply. However, it processes over 80% of it, of this ore, through contracts with other producers. The U.S.'s last source of antimony, the stibnite mine in Idaho, that ceased operation in 1997. This issue has hit the front burner of Capitol Hill, the House Armed Services Committee, investigating the status of the Defense National Stockpile, which is charged with maintaining a strategic reserve of rare minerals, and our stockpile and the infrastructure to operate will largely cease to exist by 2025 unless urgent action is taken. The New York Post reporting China preparing its legion of hackers to wreak havoc on critical U.S. infrastructure, warned FBI Director Christopher Wray, warned lawmakers this past Wednesday. Digital infiltrators working for the People's Republic of China are specifically targeting American water treatment plants, the electrical grid, oil and natural gas pipelines, and transportation systems, according to the FBI director, who noted that the Chinese hackers far outnumber the Bureau's cyber personnel. To qualify what we're up against, the People's Republic of China has a bigger hacking problem than that of every major nation combined, said the FBI director. In fact, if you took every single one of the FBI cyber agents and intelligence analysts and focused them exclusively on the China threat, China's hackers would still outnumber FBI cyber personnel by at least 50-1. 50-1. And so you see these threats that are coming from the outside, friends? You see the threats that are from the outside, but look what's happening inside as well. What is happening across our borders as we speak. The number of those entering our country illegally from rogue nations across this world that are coming in. And we're just putting down the welcome mat and say, come on in. We'll check up on you for your asylum appointment in, what, 2035? Lord willing, this coming Monday, we'll be touching base again with the Center for Immigration Studies and give the lowdown. We got the Secretary Mayorkas, who is facing impeachment here at this time. Troubling things that are taking place at our borders. But friends, keep in mind, it is righteousness that exalts a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. How badly this world needs Jesus. It's a heart change. Friends, the most important matter, we've said this before, the most important matter is not who occupies the White House, it is who occupies your heart. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? Times are not going to get better. Things are going to wax worse and worse. Just said Mike Gendron on the other day, deceiving and being deceived. Deception is massive. And friends, we need to be alert to these times in which we live. We are called to be salt. We are called to be light. We're called to be stewards. A man be found faithful as a steward until the Lord returns again. Are you doing that? This past week, in the House of Representatives, Pastor Jack Hibbs really triggered atheists with his prayer that he gave at the U.S. Capitol. As we close today's Crosstalk program, I'm going to play for you that you can listen in to the prayer that was prayed at the U.S. House of Representatives, outraging many. Yes, he does name the name of Jesus Christ in his prayer. But friends, I trust this will be a fitting end to where we are as a nation. We know that the nation is blessed whose God is the Lord. And it doesn't just start at the top of this land, it starts in individual hearts and lives across this planet. Across this nation, I should say. Let's listen to that prayer right now by Pastor Jack Hibbs.
The prayer will be offered by the guest chaplain, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, Chino, California.
Let's pray. Almighty God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, together we come before you in humility as a people in need of your forgiveness, your mercy, your goodness, and your grace. For these 250 so years, our fathers in this Congress have prayed for your guidance and protection. And so we stand here in humble petition that you today might do the same. That this nation and its unparalleled constitution, your great gift to all freedom-loving people, might be renewed here and across this land as a beacon of hope to all who seek peace. I ask you today, Father, to bring to us a great awakening of righteousness and confidence in you, who alone is mighty to save. Hear my cry in this hour of great need that we might be humbly blessed before you in the repentance of our national sins. You, Almighty God, are the source of all wisdom, and there is no wisdom but that which comes from you. So please come upon those here who are the stewards over the business of our nation with your wisdom, which comes from above, and with your holy fear, knowing that your coming day of judgment draws near, when all who have been and are now in authority will answer to you, the great judge of heaven and of earth, for the decisions that they make here in this place. I offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Son, your Son, and our crucified Savior and resurrected Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Pastor Jack Hibbs. Praying before the United States House of Congress, and friends, I trust, again, your heart is burdened to be praying for this nation. Be praying that God would give you open doors of opportunity that you'll pass through to share the good news with somebody else. Oh, friends, we may not be able to influence legislation in any significant way, but boy, oh boy, how great it is to share the love of Jesus with another soul. Thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk. It's Friday today. The Lord's Day is coming. Trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.